Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Will the final frontier of space prevent the final days of Earth? That's the inquiry Moonhaven dives into when this new AMC Plus saga begins July 7th. Creator and showrunner Peter Otko joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. The telehealth TV movement continues to make headway with consumers. Our second 30 minutes covers a player co-organized by NBC Universal parent Comcast, Quill Health. We'll speak with Chief Executive Karina Edwards, and we'll be joined by a company she is working with called People Power through their chairman and Chief Science Officer Gene Wong. Also ahead, Spin, the television service, Kate Winslet's next HBO affair, Ringing Out for Sea, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, present on iTunes, the iRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, and other podcast sites as well. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Wherever you are, we welcome you to our final June 2022 episode and a special Wednesday edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Beautiful day here in the Big Apple, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted you're with us. We have a great hour to wrap up June by, and we invite you to interact with our guests. How do you do that? You pick up the phone, you dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Shy about the phone, no problem. Use that chat room that we have for you. It's SimonApple04. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. I'll be live with you. Moonhaven, creator and showrunner Peter Otko joins us from Venice, California, after these news notes. Popular music-centric magazine Spin plans to begin a television service, reaching viewers through smart TV products and multi-channel bundles by next March. Content aggregator Best Ever Channels will work with Spin's management to create the format, lineup distribution, and advertiser partnerships. Spin Chief Executive Jimmy Hutchison says the service will emulate the magazine's irreverent fun tone. Be on the lookout for another miniseries collaboration between HBO and actress Kate Winslet. The Emmy-winning star of Mare of Easttown, and before that, HBO's Mildred Pierce miniseries, is set to bring Hernan Diaz's novel, published last month, Trust, to television. The premise? Wealthy businessman gets upset with a fictional account of his life, then hires someone to ghostwrite his own autobiography. Diaz will hook up with Winslet as executive producer and possibly the adapter. As for She, or C, I should say, that's C, Apple TV Plus's portrait of a future society without the ability of sight, it will begin its third and final season August 26th. Jason Momoa will be back as Baba Voss with Jonathan Tropper, a Banshee fame, again on board as the showrunner. Now quickies, Peacock will debut at least two scripted series in September, Late Last Light with Matthew Fox, September 8th, and Vampire Academy from Julie Plex, September 15th. Acclaimed 1999 film The Woods, dealing with a trio of African-American men growing up in Inglewood, California, will become a TV pilot at Showtime. Writer-director Rich Famuyiwa will participate as executive producer. Peacock and USA Network will split non-NBC Live coverage of the Tour de France cycling race beginning Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And Food Network and Discovery Plus will go vegan and gluten-free with new cooking challenge series It's Complicated, hosted by Tabitha Brown. The first episode plays on August 11th. And that is news notes for today. Our first subject this Wednesday afternoon is Moonhaven. It's a new series premiering next week on AMC Plus. Not AMC, AMC Plus. That's the AMC spinoff channel. It's available on smart TV sets, smart bundles, and smart products. Well, my first guest is the creator and showrunner of the program, and he's one of the most versatile creators and people in the world of television as both a writer and producer. His credits include everything from HBO's original series Not Sorry the News back in the 1980s to Pushing Daisies, The Office, even a Primetime Emmy Award, and more recently, the acclaimed AMC series Lodge 49. So pleasure welcome to this program. Live with us in Innovative Solutions of Venice, California, Peter Otko. Peter, welcome in.
Oh, well, thank you. What a pleasure. What a pleasure to talk to you today, Simon.
Same here, Peter. You know, before we get into your new series, I want to ask you this. You're one of those people who, because of the way your career has gone, has avoided one of the common obstacles a lot of people in your side of television have, which is being pigeonholed. You know, people can't say, oh, Peter just does comedies, or Peter just does dramedies, or Peter just does science fiction. What's it like to be someone who isn't pigeonholed?
The simple answer is terrified. I think, you know, no, I'm kidding, of course, but I mean, there is a comfort if you do one thing and you stay in that lane and you just build that career carefully. I have plenty of friends who do that. And I think it's, you know, it's a comfortable, no one is comfortable, but I think it is a safer way to kind of build a career. I have veered left and right. I think it's my own sort of desire to lean into things that kind of scare me. But I do look, I would say the common denominator, Simon, is I've always had something comedic in what I'm doing. There's very few shows I've been on that don't on some level have comedy, even if it just means they're in a comic universe. You know, it may not be a laugh out loud comedy, but it's a world where, like, you know, absurd things happen, and the characters understand that. And I think for me, you know, I spent 10 years in a writing partnership doing just half-hour comedies back in the 90s. And, you know, that was my foundation. And then coming out of that, I just felt really excited to try the hour format. But, you know, even then ended up in shows like Dead Like Me, which Brian Fuller was one of his first shows, and then went with Brian to do Pushing Daisies. And both of those shows were, you know, they were hour dramas, but very much comedic in, you know, in their hearts. And for me, that's a very comfortable place to be. I like that kind of show.
Mm-hmm. Did the experience with Lodge 49 inspire or impact doing Moonhaven?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing that's changed in the last, I'd say, I don't know, 5 years is the orders, the number of episodes you get to tell a show has gotten smaller. You know, when I started out, we did routinely 22, 24 episodes a season. That's come way down. And also the idea of being on the air for endless numbers of seasons is kind of a thing of the past for most networks. And I find that to be really freeing because it allows you to carefully tell a story. And in some cases, which I think is great for the viewer, be able to plan an ending to that story. Now, obviously on Lodge, we didn't get that far, and that was a real tragedy for us. I think we had two more seasons that we would have loved to tell the story and bring that story to a conclusion. But working on Lodge and just, you know, the craftsmanship, and I give the credit to Jim Gavin as a storyteller, as you know, the creator of that show, just the being able to weave stories and bring as much character as there was plot to every episode. And, you know, that's something I've always sort of, you know, strived for. But I think on Lodge, it was really a wonderful place to, you know, to get to that kind of golden ring and get stories that you were invested as a viewer as much in what the characters were feeling as what they were doing. And that, you know, that's a trick. That doesn't always work.
Mm-hmm. In this new series, the moon, which usually is sort of like a colony to Earth, in this program becomes more of the savior or the possible savior of Earth. Explain that and how you came to that idea.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, it's like the premise is I think we live in a world now where, you know, there's two kinds of headlines we see every day. There's the headline that's like the world is getting worse. Things are falling apart. We don't know what's coming next. You know, prices are high. You know, politics is a mess. It just feels like one set of headlines is the bad news. And then the other set of headlines, which isn't always headlines, are these quiet sort of achievements in science, achievements in technology. There was a story a couple of weeks ago about Lambda, this AI project at Google, which, you know, it's hard to tell what's real and what's not these days in the news, but it seemed for all intents and purposes that AI had kind of taken a step forward to a place that was both thrilling and chilling, I'd say, in its advancement. And so for me, those two kind of trains, at some point they collide because I believe that we are going to be able to solve our problems technologically, and I mean everything from disease to fresh water to being able to actually terraform an area of a lifeless moon into a livable habitat. I think all that's going to be possible. Right now it seems impossible, but, you know, the beauty of science fiction is let's just take away the rules. Let's jump ahead of what we think is possible and just go to that place where anything is possible. And so I think you have this weird collision coming where we can solve our problems, so why don't we? And look, the story I'm telling is in the future when we've sent settlers to the moon with an AI that can solve these problems to both figure out how to solve the practical problems of the Earth, but also how to solve the cultural ones. If you have all that power and that technology to fix everything, it's not as easy as flipping a switch. You have to now, acknowledge that human beings tend to mess that up. And given an opportunity, people will try and grab on to the thing that will save them. They try and get to power and hold it and keep it from other people. Like, I think the human component of that, is the thing that's fighting our chances of survival more than the technological one. I think technology kind of trudges forward and solves these things, but we as people don't always go at the same pace, and I think that was what was really interesting. So if you sent these settlers to the moon and then they had 100 years to build a culture that works and to live in a world where they're not worried about food, they're not worried about disease, they're not worried about air and water and all of that, what would that be like? And look, I'm certainly not the first to think of, what is a utopia? But I think in the current moment, we're all feeling this sense of how do we outsmart ourselves? We seem to get in our own way. And that, to me, is essentially what Moonhaven is about.
And Moonhaven begins its run on AMC Plus Tuesday, right after the 4th of July holiday weekend. That's July 7th. First two episodes will run there, and then there'll be additional episodes dropping every week on Thursdays. We're speaking with Peter Otko. He is the creator and showrunner of the program, and he's joining us live from Venice, California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Glad you're with us as well for the second of three episodes this week of the program about TV's current and future. Simon, I'm with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A, New York, where it's 75 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Peter, don't be shy. Make your move and call in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, we get July off answering this question. Where is Dave Coulet, Bob Saget's former co-star in Full House? Well, we've got the answer. It's a brand new series, a new comedy called Live Plus Local that premieres next week, not on any network you usually would see, but on a network that's starting to wrap up with original appointment called Pure Flix on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We'll talk to the creator and showrunner, Dan Merchant. That's coming up. He'll be our lead guest Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Explain more about how the moon is a very Garden of Eden-esque kind of property by the time we get into Moonhaven.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, I think, part of the fun of the pilot is we actually, we travel with Bella, who's our pilot from the Earth, who's just doing what she thinks is a routine cargo mission to the moon. And it turns out that there's some surprises for her along the way. But what we experience as a viewer, and we spent a lot of time really trying to get this right, is, what the moon would be like if you could take about a 5,000 square mile area, imagine just a circle on the surface of the moon. And, a lot of people don't even know the scale of the moon. If you were to take the United States from coast to coast, it would just fit across the face of the moon that we see. So the moon, I think, is bigger than people imagine. So if you imagine we took about a 5,000 square mile circle that we terraformed, that has an atmosphere, that has climate and terrain that looks very much like Earth. What would it be like? And so we actually, in the pilot, you get to sort of fly in. You come in on approach and you go into the moon and you land in Moonhaven. And to me, I think, the leap I wanted to make is I've seen so many shows about space colonization where, people are clunking around in their metal boots and their big suits and, and it's always the trope of, the spacesuit with the light on the inside of the helmet for some reason. I've just seen that so many times. I wanted to kind of skip over that. And so in our world, those space stations and, metal hulks that were built initially to support life on the moon when we started this colonization are kind of the history of where we are now. So on the moon, it actually looks like a lush, foresty, utopian land with these kind of rusted hulks of of old moon bases, which were the original settlers, bases. So, you know, we try and really lean into this idea that we're kind of jumping over that traditional moon show and getting to this new idea that we really, you know, we're able to terraform. And look, the logic behind it is that there's an AI system called Io, which has solved these problems for us. And it's not malicious. It's not, you know, it's not a malevolent AI. It's just a problem solver, and it's done that for us on the moon. So there, you know, we are able to live there, and that's why there's been three generations of mooners who have grown up there, and their only mission is to eventually return to Earth and fix the problems, and that's where we are when the story begins.
Yeah. Talk about the cast you've assembled for this series. Emma McDonald plays the heroine. In this series, but you've got some very interesting actors like from Lost, Dominic Monaghan. You got Kadeem Harrison. We all remember him from A Different World. Then more recently, Black Monday on Showtime. It's a very interesting cast, and they come from all sorts of different. Many of them have done quirky or science fiction shows or suspense shows in the past. What was it like to pull this particular set of people together?
You know, I always joke that they're really wonderfully kind and lovely people who happen to be great at acting. It was such a pleasure to do the show. You know, and I've been doing television for 32 years, and that does not always happen. But I think everybody was really on board to do something optimistic. The show is essentially hopeful. It's not about a utopia that, you know, where everybody secretly eats people or something terrible. These people really are focused on coming back to help us, and obviously in our series and in our first season there's a thriller mystery, which there's a conspiracy to ruin all that. But I mean, as far as the cast goes, we had such a good time, and there's such chemistry. I mean, first of all, Emma McDonald, who plays the Earth pilot, she really hadn't done a ton of things back in the UK. And she's just stepped into the role, and she's such a star. It's so much fun to watch her do her thing. And, you know, one of the highlights for me is watching Dominic Moynihan and Kadeem Hardison as buddy cops, because they are so much fun to watch together as a team. And, you know, on the moon, detectives cops, their job isn't to solve the murders, because they have a machine that solves it for them. Their job is to help the victims. And that's kind of a twist. So in this story, you know, something happens at the beginning and they're forced for the first time to be actual detectives. And that's, you know, that's part of the fun of our setup.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you always try to find the humor in your shows, no matter what kind of show you do. How did you try to find the humor in Moonhaven?
You know, it's between the characters. It's just not forgetting our humanity. You know what I mean? Like I've watched some science fiction shows recently, and I thought, for instance, Foundation is, it's an amazing show. It's a believable world, compelling characters. You know, obviously great story, but there is a self-seriousness to those characters. There's, it's as if as we go into the future, we lose our sense of humor about the world. And I just try and keep that alive. I mean, my job is to portray a future that's still human, that's not a bunch of people in jumpsuits and metal buildings, walking around seriously saving the world all the time. These are a group of people who have been raised without problems, without, turmoil and trouble, like I say, for three generations. And what would that be like? And, there is still, amongst them, there's a camaraderie and, essentially a sweetness. It's not naive. You know, they understand the problems that we solve, and they have a huge task in front of them to go back to Earth and save it. But they never lose their sense of humor about it. And, look, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars for that reason, is that those characters, there's always, you watch The Mandalorian, and, there's humor throughout. And I just feel like keeping the future – with absurd things and with humorous things is crucial to really believing that we might get there.
You're hearing Peter Rocco. He is the creator and showrunner of AMC Plus's new science fiction saga, Moonhaven. It premieres on Tuesday, July 7th, with the first two episodes, and then weekly on Thursdays, you'll see more of this new series with a great, great cast, by the way, led by Emmett McDonald. And if you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Peter, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. He's in Venice, California. I'm in New York. Simon Apple, I'm with you. It's our second of three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised this week and our final one for June 2022. We'll be with you next week, Tuesday and Friday. Usually it's Monday and Friday, but, of course, we have July 4th holiday weekend coming up. So join us Tuesday, July 5th, and then on Friday, next Friday, July 8th. Of course, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, Noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And don't forget, coming up on August 1st, first week of August, our special two-hour live edition marking 15 years of this program. We hope to have each hour with a key TV executive for most of the hour, and you get the chance to be with that person through your phone calls and chat room reaction. You know, we were talking before about how artificial intelligence, Peter, plays a big role in this series. And what's so ironic is that we are now in a situation where artificial intelligence is currently being used in smart TV sets and smart TV devices that allow you, for example, to use Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant with your voice as opposed to a separate speaker. And in our next half hour, we're going to be talking about telehealth on television. We've already covered earlier this year a venture called MayaMD, which allows people using it to speak with an artificial intelligence-generated human being, similar to the character you were just talking about, to get medical information, to work with their pharmacists, to get the prescriptions filled, and so forth. I'm curious what you think about how artificial intelligence is getting more and more involved with television.
I guess I didn't, you know, I thought what happened a couple of weeks ago with this Lambda project at Google was really interesting because what they've done is create, you know, an artificial intelligence whose specialty is language, right? And if you think about our day-to-day life, so much of our intelligence, you can tell, you know, if someone is intelligent with how they communicate. And this system seems to have almost stumbled upon autonomous thought simply by understanding language. And I find that fantastic. But what it makes me wonder, and I think I'm certainly not alone, is, you know, is it's obviously has this intelligence at Google has access to everything on the internet. It can go on YouTube, it can watch videos, it can read books, and it sort of picks up the patterns of how we communicate. And then it talks to us. And the question is that intelligence or is it the simulation that we've built? And then the second question I have is, who cares? Like, at what point is a simulation so good that it is intelligent, even if it's not? Does that make sense? I mean, I find that so curious, is that, you know, how do we stumble into something that we consider intelligent? And at what point is, you know, it's pretending to be smart, and then at some point we just forget that it's pretending, and then, you know, it's a person. I find that to be a very strange, like slippery slide into what may be, you know, what we could call a new species, but I find it really curious.
Me too, especially now that it's taking a role in television, everything from making interactive TV possible on the television set to the ability to maybe shop for order products and services with your voice as opposed to your remote control. And then again, if these telehealth projects like MayaMD work, where you create an artificial intelligent human being as a resource, like your character in Moonhaven, whether we're going to see more like this and how far does it go? So it's it can be a godsend and it could be crazy.
We'll have to wait and see.
And, of course, this Lambda project, as you mentioned, really puts this more in sharp focus.
Yeah, and I find, you know, the next question we should all have is, you know, as this intelligence gets better at communicating and it starts to replace more human beings, I mean, as call centers disappear and are replaced by an intelligence that you can't tell the difference. When you call up Target and you want to place an order and you can't tell the difference between a human being and an AI person, and, you know, you're essentially, now you know that the person who used to have that job is no longer working, you know, how do we manage that as a society? Do we allow Target to, I use Target in quotes, do we allow any business to keep the profit that they just saved by automating? Or do we have to share that with the people whose jobs have been taken away? And I feel like that's going to be.
Peter, what happened here? Peter, are you there? Peter, for some reason, you got dropped. Give us a call back, 646-652-2906. For some reason, I didn't touch my computer. I promise you that, folks. Trust my word. For some reason, Peter dropped. So, Peter, if you can hear me, call back, 646-652-2906. In the meantime, I want to welcome Moss Moss into our chat room. If you have a question or comment for Peter once he gets back, give a call or use our chat room, 646-652-2906. So sooner than we hear you, sooner we get you back. And, again, we're going to try to get Peter back on. He is so good, by the way. And, incidentally, Peter has a program development deal with AMC and his parent company, AMC Networks, to do more shows. And as soon as he gets back on, we'll ask him about how that program development deal is going. Again, in our second half hour, we're going to be focusing again on the world of telehealth, which is going to be quite amazing. And we're going to be talking with two companies who are trying to make telehealth advance for you and me, called Quill Health and People Power. So we're going to get to those folks after our second half hour begins. Peter, again, for some reason, we lost you. Give us a call back, 646-652-2906, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're back and ready to go, we'll get you back on the air. And again, there we go. I think Peter is back on now. Peter, are you there?
Hi, yeah, what happened? AI.
Maybe an artificial intelligence being listened to what you said, like yanked you out. It's like amazing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like the Rod Serling Twilight Zone. Remember the disappearing, that, you know, the people disappear on short notice?
Yeah.
And When the Sky Was Opened? Amazing show, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, finish the thought you had about artificial intelligence, because you were in the middle of it when you got yanked.
Well, no, look, all I was saying was I think the question's going to come up more and more as people start to lose their jobs to artificial intelligence, because obviously it's getting better and better at being us. Then how do we make up for that in society? Like, do we say that corporations that replace people get to keep that profit? Do we say that, you know, there has to be some way to redistribute as technology starts to take away these jobs? I don't know what the answer is, but as AI starts to get better and better at doing jobs that people, you know, it used to be that people had to do. I mean, for instance, look, I love the new Top Gun movie, as do millions and millions of other people. It's an amazing ride, but there's a little bit of information buried in the first act, which, if you think about it, makes a Top Gun 3 almost impossible. And that's just the simple idea of drones. You know, I think they dismiss it at some point as saying, well, a pilot has to do this. But about halfway through that movie, you say to yourself, well, they could just send two drones to do this. And, you know, you wonder why a human pilot would ever need to be in a plane again. And, you know, it's changing. Again, like, AI changes a lot of things. One of the things is how we tell stories. And, you know, it's all happening very fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Before you go, I mentioned while you were away that you have a program development deal with AMC. Any other shows you're working on right now?
I mean, at the moment, Moonhaven has taken all my focus. I put everything into that for the last year. I do love working with AMC because the honest truth is, you know, they'll try anything. They really are not afraid to develop really different shows, and that's why I love them.
Yeah, and they just had great success with Dark Winds. We had the executive producer on our show earlier this month, Graham Rowland, and they are over the moon with that program. They gave it a second season a couple weeks ago, and that's, again, an example
yeah,
of AMC
show.
Leading the way in terms of doing different kind of shows.
They're a great place to be, and, you know, they're one of the last independent networks out there.
And I also want to mention while we have you that coming up this fall, they will be finally doing the Anne Rice novel, starting with Interview with a Vampire, and then either late this year or the next, Mayfair Witches. And I can tell you, I've seen clips from the opening episode of Interview with a Vampire. People can be very excited about that show. It is really striking, and the acting is exquisite. And they got New Orleans down pat in a huge, huge way. In the meantime, start checking out Moonhaven this coming Tuesday, July coming on Tuesday on July 5th. First two episodes will be coming out, then every Thursday from then after, new episode. And it's all happening on AMC Plus. That's not AMC, AMC Plus, which is available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. For more details about the service online, go to www.amcplus. That's in full, not with the plus sign. www.amcplus.com. Moonhaven premieres this Tuesday right here on AMC Plus. Pirocco, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this new series off the ground, and hopefully what happens next week starts a new long run for you.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Peter. Let's do it again soon, and have a fantastic 4th of July weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Peter Rocco from Venice, California, from Moonhaven, joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, we switch gears to telehealth, and yes, we're going to get artificial intelligence in there too. You'll meet the two people behind a new venture involving Comcast, the nation's largest cable operator and the parent of NBC Universal. One is called Quill Health. The other is People Power. The people behind those ventures, they will join us live from Philadelphia and Palo Alto, California, respectively, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Coming up tomorrow, it's Word of Mom Radio, and they got a very interesting presentation for you. That's Word of Mom Radio, regular feature on BTR tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Sometimes I'm with you live from New Weber, York. Have a question or comment for our guests in the half hour ahead, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. SimonApple04 by name, as Moss is already doing. And coming up later this half hour, our classic trivia question of the week that we introduced on Monday's program. If you're first with the correct answer, two prizes will come your way. If you've been a regular listener to this program, you know that one of the hot topics we are talking about here, more frequently than normal, is the growth of the telehealth on television movement. We have already covered several ventures on this program this year, both of them available on LG Smart TV sets, Independa and MayaMD, which, by the way, allows you to talk to an artificial intelligence-created human being to discuss medical issues, get information, get in touch with your pharmacy, get your prescription filled. Well, Comcast, the nation's largest cable operator and the parent of NBC Universal, is now involved with another telehealth project. It's called Quill Health, and they are involved with another telehealth project called People Power. You're about to hear the two people who are making those projects happen. First up, joining us live from Philadelphia is the chief executive of Quill Energy, Karina Edwards. Karina, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Great to be here.
Absolutely. And joining both of us, and we just got in this person about an hour ago, is the chairman and chief science officer of People Power, Gene Wong. Gene, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Simon. It's really a great pleasure to meet you and also talk to Karina again.
Hey, Gene.
Hey.
Well, we're happy to make the connection. We're delighted to have you both with us this half hour. Karina, we'll start with you. What is Quill Health, and what does it want to do in this growing venue of telehealth on television?
Awesome. So Quill Health is the digital health joint venture between Comcast, NBC Universal, and Independence Blue Cross, headquartered here in Philadelphia. And we have two products. One really applicable today in the market called Quill Engage, and that is an engagement product. So if you are navigating a health episode, like getting your hip replaced or going in for bariatric surgery, or, you know, you just got diagnosed with diabetes, you actually get Quill Health prescribed by your provider. And it's a series of videos and articles and checklists and to-do lists to make sure that you are prepared and understand. And it's also available on your television. So if you are a Comcast subscriber today, you can go to a voice remote and you can say Quill Health into your voice remote. The app pops up and you can pair your experience. So if you're one of those people recovering from hip replacement surgery, you can do your physical therapy and self-directed exercises on your living room television. And that is also shipping with any of the Flex boxes as well as the X-Class TV being shipped by Walmart. So exciting on that side, but really here today with me is Gene Wong from People Power, and we're here to talk about Quill Assure. This is a smart home, connected home for seniors aging independently, and I think this is that beautiful tie-in to the TV, the home, the digital home, the physical home, and how it's all coming together to keep people really safe as they age in place.
Yeah. Before we get to Gene, one more thing about the Quill project just mentioned. How long has it been offered to Comcast subs, as well as to the X-Class smart TV sets, and what kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, so today it's a B2B product, so we sell to people like Penn Medicine or Penn State Health. And so if you happen to be an Xfinity subscriber, that has been available to you for 3 years. So if anyone listening today just goes, you'll get health and wellness videos. But if you were going to Penn Medicine and you were on one of our journeys and you paired your digital experience, you'd actually be getting your physician-prescribed care plan right on your television.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Gene, let's go to you. What is People Power, and what is your venue in terms of telehealth on television?
People Power is a company that is focusing on AI and Internet of Things technologies. And I was hearing you and Peter talk last about AI and how that can replace people's jobs and so on. Actually, our vision is a little different. We think that most family caregivers who are taking care of their parents or their grandparents or their spouses who are aging, they don't get paid. And in fact, they not only don't get paid, but they really have to worry and agonize about their loved ones and their conditions, particularly if they have diseases that are becoming really pervasive, like Alzheimer's disease and other things like that. So we are building technology along with our friends and partners at Quill to really give people the peace of mind that otherwise they lose as their loved ones age. So our vision is really about empowering people to care for their loved ones with higher quality of life and greater peace of mind.
Yeah. Gene, how far along is this side of the project with Quill, and when do you expect it will play in households through their television sets, whether they get it through their cable system or whether they get it through a smart home hub that plays on their television set? And we know a lot of smart home TV makers and product makers are now trying to get into the smart home arena, where you can use the set to control your lights, your air conditioning, how you manage your energy, seeing who's at the front door, your home security system, and so on and so forth.
Yes. Well, Quill Health, or Quill, just announced in March the limited commercial availability of Quill Assure, which is a joint development between Quill and People Power. And in April, we actually announced our strategic partnership, where we can bring together these ecosystems of devices that help families and help people age in the comfort of their own homes. And, you know, one of the things particularly prevalent in the older generation is they like to sit in front of their TVs. And that's one of the reasons why we really are so happy to be working with Quill, is with their deep relationship. In fact, I think Comcast is a half owner of Quill, to be able to bring these technologies onto the big screen, right into the living room. That is going to be a big advantage. And, you know, particularly with the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, people really got a lot more comfortable with not going into the hospital, but using telehealth as a way to not only increase safety and convenience, but actually some people really prefer the telehealth approach, just in terms of being able to comfortably talk to their doctors and their medical team to get the best advice for their health.
Mm-hmm. And telehealth is our subject this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, and joining us live from Philadelphia, which is the home of Comcast in their corporate headquarters, is Karina Edwards. She is the chief executive of Quill Health, And joining us from Palo Alto, California, is the Chairman and Chief Science Officer of People Power, Gene Wong. And they're both with us live right here on Tomorrow We Televise. They're connected with us and with you. And if you have a question or comment for them, ring the phone in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Moss already in the room, and we do appreciate that. We have one more episode coming your way this week, and it kicks off July on July 1st, of course, right for your July 4th holiday weekend. And on the program, our lead guest is going to be the creator and showrunner of a new series called Live Plus Focus, a comedy taking place at the radio station, and the star, the former co-star with Bob Saget of Full House, Dave Coulet. Dan Merchant, the creator and showrunner of Live Plus Local, will be with us, and that series will premiere next week on PureFlix, which is a very interesting service that's getting started out as movies and now getting more and more into original scripted programming. So be with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, when we unveil Live Plus Local right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Karina, how do you see Comcast's view on telehealth and the role the television set plays in it, whether it's showing videos, whether it's video chat with a doctor or a pharmacist, whether it is, as MyMD is trying to do, artificial intelligence as a resource? What's your sense of the overall picture?
Yeah, I think the overall picture starts with this notion of the convergence of digital lives and physical spaces. Right. And so we're pointing to the screen of glass, the pane of glass that's hanging on our walls. But if you think about it now, so many people are streaming different content to all different panes of glass. Being able to interact on all panes of glass equally, I think, is the connected vision. And when you tie in now the smart home, right, Comcast has been in the home security business. We have, you know, these lovely motion detectors, door sensors. And it's that AI and machine learning that come together to derive these experiences of keeping mom safe at home, giving me, the daughter that's, you know, 80, 90, 500 miles away, those insights of, yeah, she's up and around. She is doing well. Her patterns aren't changing. But more importantly, when the patterns are changing, not just interacting in the home itself, but reaching out to that connected ecosystem to notify them. Right. So if you think about the way home security has always been, it's you want to keep people out of your house and alarm if they're in. Senior care, elder care, and aging at home successfully and gracefully is all about pattern detection, learning. What is the motion of the home? How often is mom watching TV? How often is she going to the kitchen? Is she leaving the house, coming back from the house? If, to Jean's point, she has Alzheimer's or dementia, those are things that you really have to start tracking. And so when things go awry, when things like, oh, we've had it in our early adopters, you know, the air conditioning broke, but mom didn't want to tell anybody. But because our sensors in the home know ambient temperature, we can detect it and tell the caregiver, hey, the house is up to 78. It's getting up to 80. You may want to check in on mom, right? Those are the things and those insights that are so great to have if you're one of these 53 million Americans playing the role of an unpaid caregiver.
Mm-hmm. I believe we do have a phone call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi there. This is David. I'm calling from Kirkland, Washington.
David, great to have you. Go right ahead.
Well, this is really exciting. You know, I think the home security market just got saturated in the 2010s. We saw all these companies take off. What I'm hearing here is the next obvious step. I think this senior care market is going to explode. But I have some questions. How do you convince a senior and their families to invite this kind of technology into their private homes? And what kind of evidence do you have that this is going to work?
Oh, it's a great question.
Homes are part
so
of
I think first,
too. So go right ahead, Karina or Gene, all yours.
Yeah, I can take that one. So thanks for calling in. I think the key thing is, right, this is private information. This is not something that's like streaming to the cloud that's going into all the data sets. This is private. It's between the senior and their loved ones. And so they control what is seen. There are no cameras in our solution. And we did that because of all of the research that we have done. It has been proven medically, and we actually prove it on the CoolEngage side all the time. When you connect a caregiver into seniors care, reductions in readmission rates of over 26% happen, because now when an adverse event happens and they come home, they are better prepared. They have eyes on mom. They know how to help her navigate her challenges. And so you know, it's a really interesting equation here, because what we've learned is because they're passive, because they're ambient, because there's no button they have to wear, there's no stigma attached to it, this is a very accepted solution. My favorite story in our trials was one woman who was 74 years old who was recovering from cancer. So she was, you know, other than recovering from cancer, she was generally normally healthy. She had this sense of security. She'd walk by her motion detectors and wave at them like they were working, because then she knew her daughter didn't have to worry about her. And so I think they feel comforted by the fact that if they need to, 24/7 help is available to them. But it is this, you hit the two key pieces. One, you need the efficacy, and two, you know, Jean, I know you guys have done a lot of clinical studies and they've been peer reviewed. So do you want to share additional insights from your proof points?
Sure. Thanks, Karina. And yes, I think it is important that we can show actual real life benefits to these types of AI systems. And at PeoplePower, we've been working for many years together with UC Berkeley on an NIH-funded randomized control trials, where we have been able to prove that caregivers with active systems have significantly less anxiety and significantly better sleep quality than people in the control group without the system activated. So there are really meaningful benefits that you can discover through randomized control trials and scientific validation. But also, you know, I have an 86-year-old mother, and you know, she is not exactly the most advanced technology person, which and I've been, you know, kind of helping her along for many years when it comes to technically supporting her. And basically, she is very comfortable with our system. As Karina was talking about, in her case, we were able to really make her feel a lot more safe and secure, like somebody is there kind of helping to look over her 24/7. And my mom has actually fallen 3 times. So we, you know, we don't live together. I live across the San Francisco Bay from her. But we both feel better about the fact that if she falls, I get notified. If she goes to bed at night but she doesn't get up the next morning, I get notified. And that type of thing really helps out make people feel safer and more secure. And the other thing is that actually we also believe that we can add to people's comfort and quality of life by connecting them in these trusted circles of care, where people are so it's not just about sensors monitoring falls and monitoring sleep quality and things like that. It's about connecting people together so that they're talking, they're communicating, they're sharing the caregiver load. They are plugged into emergency response systems, so if something really goes wrong, people can respond appropriately with the right information. And just they're connected and they remain engaged. Sometimes as people age, they start becoming isolated and feel lonely, and particularly in this era of COVID-19, that is the case. But with these technologies, you can really join people to people virtually and make everybody feel better.
Dave from Kirkland, Washington, thank you so much for your question. It really opened up, I think, a lot of great dialogue. I appreciate you making it happen here.
Thanks for letting me on.
You're very welcome. Take care. Enjoy the July 4th holiday weekend, too. Dave from Kirkland, Washington, with us here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment, Just like Dave, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 049. Coming up, by the way, near the top of the hour, classic trivia question, two prizes in play if you're first with the correct answer. Gene, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in January, Samsung announced that they were going to launch a project called Home Hub, which would be a personal video assistant that you could work with as a concierge in a hotel for all sorts of needs. They also announced that they're going to be part of a project called the Home Connectivity Alliance, which involves everybody from appliance makers to companies like Samsung to create smart TV sets and smart devices to create interconnectivity in terms of various smart home hubs. Has your organization or Karina's talked to smart TV set makers, smart device makers, an organization like HCA to make sure that projects like yours are part of a smart home hub in a television set or a smart home hub in other devices?
So I can share that, yeah, we did talk to the APA, and we actually got involved in the working groups for smart home committees, and so I think that's been something that plugging into that, looking at standards, thinking about how we can all leverage use cases that are interoperable, but making this a lot more IoT agnostic friendly, if you will. I just, you know, there shouldn't have to be these closed systems. I think what we're all for in the industry is, you know, how do we make sure that everything that we're investing in has multiple use cases, so I don't need four different motion sensors on my door for four different devices. We can all be interchanging for the use case that I'm meeting at this point in time, very similar to OSs that really happen on your other digital panes of glass.
Gene, anything from you and People Power?
No, I missed CES. I haven't been going for the last few years, but definitely cross-device integration is really important. And obviously the TV is the center of many homes in many respects. And having interoperability across a wide range of devices is really desirable. At People Power, we support over 200 different device types. And what we do is we add AI software and intelligence as well as IoT connectivity to bring ecosystems of devices together. And so we support things like voice controllers, like smart watches, like a wide variety of different kinds of sensors and hubs. And we're in particular working with the Comcast ecosystem to make that more and more intelligent, because really everybody should be living in a home that's taking care of its occupants.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, we are still trying to get Samsung and the Home Connectivity Alliance to be on this program and talk about what each of them are doing, especially Samsung with the Home Hub, because they didn't say a lot about how the Home Hub was going to work, when it was going to happen, and so on and so forth. So the invitation remains open. Final question for both of you. How fast will these services go beyond Comcast subs? When will they be available to Charter subs or subs from other cable operators, and as well as people who have Samsung smart TV sets or Roku or X-Class or, well, you mentioned X-Class is already available, but the Amazon sets, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so today it is available to the physical devices. The actual physical hub is available to anybody. So that's not just in our broadband footprint or our television footprint, the channels through Comcast. I think the connectivity, that one pane of glass, that TV connection, that remains on the Flex platform and the X-Class platform. And so whether you're on an Xfinity box, an X-Class TV, or you happen to have a Flex box in your house with your broadband, those are where it's available today. But as that TV gains more and more traction, we'll be adding those components to the other players. But staying in the Comcast footprint for now, but back to Quill Assure as being marketed without just the TV component, available to anybody that has broadband in their home.
And one thing for sure, we will continue to follow this whole telehealth on TV movement. It is growing fast, and I think we're going to see more companies get involved, and more opportunity, hopefully, between the companies, and we hope to be sort of the connecting point on this program to bring it all to you. If you want more details about both Quill Health and People Power, here are the websites. For Quill Health, it's quillhealth.com. It's QILHealth.com. And for People Power, there's actually two websites, peoplepowerco.com, peoplepowerco.com, and www.peoplecomfamily.com, www.peoplepowerfamily.com. Karina Edwards, Gene Wong, thank you both very much for a wonderful half hour. And like I said, we're going to continue to follow what you're up to, as well as everybody else in this fast-growing and fast-moving telehealth by TV community. This is definitely one of the major stories that's breaking loose this year in the whole world of interactivity and TV and health overall. And it's been a great pleasure to have you both aboard.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much, Simon. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Karina and Gene. Take care. We hope to have you back soon. In the meantime, have a fantastic July 4th weekend.
Happy 4th. Bye-bye.
Karina Edwards and Gene Wong joining us live from Philadelphia and Palo Alto, California, respectively. Coming up, classic trivia question, but first some words to the fine folks at audible.com. Have you heard about Viola Davis' wonderful autobiography, Finding Me? That book can be yours or something else with a one-month trial to audible.com. Remember, it's the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. You listen on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, all of our podcast sites, and our website, Tuavitelevised.onpodium.com. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, health and wellness information as well. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you can only get two audiobooks for your trial of one. Plus, if you do subscribe, your first 3 months, for a limited time only, first 3 months are free. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you with someone you love. Time now for our classic trivia question. If you missed the question man on Monday, here it is. If you're first with the correct answer, you win two prizes, the Loud House Christmas card set from Nickelodeon and the best-selling novel, The Unexpected Danny Green, by our recent TVT guest, Paul Friedman. Remember You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx? Remember, if you said the secret word, you divide $100, common word, something you had with you or something around the house. Well, here's our question. On the new version of You Bet Your Life with Jay Leno, how much do you get if you say the secret word, you or your partner? On the new You Bet Your Life with Jay Leno, which will go into a second season this fall, if you say the secret word your partner does, how much do you get or split up? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter, Facebook Simon Applebaum, Twitter UBC Simon WBT. Remember, when you send in your answer by email, include your name and address. So if you're first with the answer, you win. We get the prize to you as soon as possible. Also, if you're a previous winner, you're not eligible. Once again, the question. On the new version of You Bet Your Life with Jay Leno, if you say the secret word, you, your partner, how much do you get? Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and address. Get in the game today. Sooner you do, so you have a chance to win. And remember, you got to be in to win, so do so, and all the very best. I'll tell you, I think today's episode was really something special. So thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Remember, on Friday, the creator and showrunner of Live and Local, Dan Merchant, coming next week on PureFlix. Came in today's program. Want to catch episodes you missed? Go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, as well as our website. And remember, we do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. Love to hear from you about what we had today. And why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. Now, those of the Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Andy Toews, B-Charge General Manager, Dave Sodberg, Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas, our web coordinator. Tomorrow's televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We're back with us in 48 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, BTR, plus speaker to the radio or our podcast destinations as well. Whatever you're doing to you now and Friday, make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out about the medical treatments available to you right now. Come to your local pharmacy and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.